Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, your life connection to the information for a healthy body, an enlightened mind, and a renewed spirit.
Welcome to Accepted As I Am on Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, brought to you on the fourth Thursday monthly from 10 to 11 a.m. Accepted As I Am is hosted by Barbara White. Barbara is a best-selling author, workshop leader, and the founder of the Accepted As I Am process. She owns a healing center in the Detroit metro area, and she is affectionately called a midwife for your soul. Guided by spirit, Barbara effortlessly brings you into the presence of God's love and ignites within you the knowing of your own self-inherent worth. To connect with Barbara, you can visit her site at www.acceptedasiam.com. And to connect with her right now, you can call into the show at 1-646-378-0378. And now for your host, Barbara White.
Hey, everybody. Happy Tuesday to you all. And if you're listening to an archive, you can just insert in there whatever day it is. I love actually saying that, happy Monday, happy Tuesday. It reminds you that every day is an opportunity for celebration and connection, and we don't have to wait till the weekend or till vacation or till you get out of that job that you're not liking to celebrate life, right? That it's possible right now in this moment. So how are you? Have you checked in with your emotional and body temperature, so to speak? Have you checked in today with what's alive in you? Meaning developing a spiritual practice every day is something that will save you a lot of suffering and pain on the planet. And spiritual practice doesn't mean you have to go anywhere, or you don't have to go to a building, or you don't... It's something that you do where you create space, some stillness, to be with yourself. And however you be with yourself, it could be a bath, it could be in nature, it could be on your knees in prayer. But some way that you are not having any external stimulus, and you're able to just be with yourself, your thoughts, your feelings, and then, of course, come into greater realizations that you are more than just your thoughts, your feelings, and the stories that you've created about yourself. But it's a practice, right? It's, you know, I don't want to oversimplify things, because then you really lose the full dimensionality, the full magnificence of what I'm talking about. And in some ways it sounds very simple, but in other ways it's quite multi-leveled. So welcome to the Accepted As I Am Walk Talk Radio Show. Thank you to Courtney, who's hosting this, and to Penny, who also makes this possible. To you that are listening, I deeply respect and honor your process, that you've taken this time to be with yourself, to listen to teachings about self-love and self-acceptance, and coming into deeper intimacy with your body and nature and life. And realizing that we're always collecting our parts, so to speak, that in many ways we become fragmented. And that is, yes, 100% your responsibility, my responsibility to collect those parts, but not 100% your responsibility or my responsibility of why we've all become so fragmented. Carl Jung had a term of his processes called soul retrieval. But these parts of ourself, the innocent, playful child that you may have lost, princess or prince that just knows that the universal mother, father, God is meeting all of his or her needs, that part of yourself that tries to bud out around 11, 12, 13, that may get squashed by trying to meet the sexual and social standards of high school, or maybe the sexual guilt and repression and your family or religion gets fragmented. Or your queen or your king, maybe never that part of you got fragmented when you turn 18, 19, 20 and never really fully came into adulthood of knowing your soul's calling, your spiritual vocation. That you fell into social pressures of thinking, this, I got to make money, and that thing that calls my soul forward, that brings me joy, but at the same time serves others, that won't make me money, so I got to do this. The idea. And then we also get fragmented, of course, through trauma and through not allowing our emotions. So all these pieces of ourself, I had a mentee ask me, you know, how many children do I have around me that I need to collect and heal? And I said, they looked around his energy. I said, about 16. And he was surprised by that. And I said, well, that's actually kind of a low number. So each time that we have an emotion that doesn't get fully processed, it's a part of our energy or our soul gets fragmented off, part of our power, right? Because if we don't have all parts of ourselves, we can't then really experience our universal self, our self that is all things, the self that is creation. The self that we don't have to have some theory or dogma or some will kind of faith. It's more of a feeling of God in your toes and in your nose and the breath in the morning and in the sunshine on your feet and on your face. That kind of feeling of God. Goddess. Source. So when we collect all these pieces of ourself or begin to collect them, there's dark parts and there's light parts, right? And dark parts are the pain, and then the light parts are the princess, the queen, the healer, the teacher, the sage. They're all in you. Those parts are all in you. That you have a part of you that is the wise sage. You have a mystic within you waiting to be born. You have an artist in some way. You may be an artist. Maybe it's through food or it's through accounting or it's through online blogging, or it's however that artist, that creative side of you comes out, or through gardening. You have part of you that's the fool that just loves to be silly and laugh, and it's all these parts of you, light and dark, that they're waiting to be loved, they're waiting to be found. And sometimes too, it's just slowing down enough and being humble enough to explore all these parts, right? If you're so identified as a healer, whether it's a crystal healer, to a doctor, to a teacher, whatever it is, that part of it's looking, it's remembering that that's an expression of you, but not the whole truth of you. And it's relaxing enough to allow a greater you to come forward, taking yourself a little more lightly. And so it's a process we're all going through, but I don't even like the word process or work, you know, because then it implies there's some type of endpoint I work with who are like, okay, well, how many sessions do I need, and how fast of results am I going to get, and you know, that's a fair enough question, but it comes from a place of I think I'm going to be done with this growth stuff, and I just want to get it out of the way so I can really begin to live my life, and that's painful. That's actually a very painful approach. Right? Because something in nature, when it grows, it's alive. And what doesn't grow is death. And I want you to consider that growth is happiness. Growth is happiness. When you're growing, when you're discovering things, right? There's a sense of joy. There's a sense of happiness. Think about it this way. When you are on vacation, you're in a new area and you haven't vacationed here before, what's your energy like? Right? And it's when we assume that we know something or someone that the energy becomes stagnant, or we assume we already know ourselves. Right? Have you ever seen, like, in a relationship when you just assume that you know that friend? You don't even realize you're projecting the past and you're not really in current time and space, but you're, the energy between you and that friend or you and that lover becomes stagnant. And that when we're willing to grow within ourselves and have that sense of adventure, that same sense we have on vacation, life becomes fresh again. But it does require, again, a sense of embracing uncertainty, of being humble, of letting things be new, kind of letting go of these old reference points that you've used in your life. That they were valid and important to use last week or yesterday or last month, but they're not going to keep you or allow you to open up and move forward to something new. So to grow is happiness. And to assume that you already know everything is death, is sadness. Right, think of somebody who's very cynical. They know a whole bunch. They know that they're not good enough, or they know life isn't good enough. They know they've made mistakes. They know they need to work on these things. They know that's where you hear the saying that says the more that you grow or open up, the less you know. Because you're fresh in the moment. You're alive in the moment. I've got some mentees that I've been working on and off with for, gosh, like 12, 13 years. Because it's a relationship, a family-type relationship, where they get to have the next expansion of themselves. They expand, they grow, and they take that into their life. And then, you know, I see them in a month, or I see them in 3 months, or whatever, however it serves them. But each time they come in, I don't have like notes in front of me or anything. I go by what's in their energy in that moment. And I always get tickled. I really get amazed. Like I had a client yesterday, he's a little 3-year-old. And I get tickled when I'm like, I write it down because I always stay in that fresh mind. And I'm like, okay, there was a lot of energy from the parents in the second energy center kind of making him, ungrounding him. And making him overly anxious. And then his body kept on asking for homeopathic. It's a homeopathic for developmental processes, for speech. There's three main ones, Kelfos, Kelfler, and Kelcarb. And usually if there's some speech and grounding issues, one of those three will help. And if it's a boy, you add in lycopodium. And if it's a female, you add silica or silica. Anyway, so I was just looking at that, and I was like, oh, he needs Kelfos. And I was all excited about it all tying together. And then I look at my notes from a couple months ago, and I go, oh, that's what I wrote 2 months ago. But that happens a lot, meaning each time it's a discovery for me. And then when it's the same discovery that I'd made before, I was like, oh, okay, well, you know, it's a great validation that we're still on the right track. And he's beginning to speak more, and he's less anxious, and mom's doing some phenomenal healing too, which that's why I pretty much, I always need to see the parents with the child, because parents, we really have such powerful influence over our kids. And if we're shaming ourselves or judging ourselves, it's going to affect them. Affect our kids and our animals. And I don't want to feed the got to be perfect mama or got to be perfect daddy. That's already hard enough. We can't. Perfect doesn't, being a responsible parent doesn't mean you're happy all the time. It just means you're authentic. You're honoring what you're feeling. You're self-aware as best as you can be, right? And that self-awareness also self-love. And I wonder sometimes that self-love may make the growth process a little too intense. That self-awareness, putting it that way, maybe it's not as romantic or not as spectacular of a word, but it certainly is the same exact thing as self-love, self-awareness, self-love. Because awareness You're aware of something, right? You're not awareness means you're not judging it. You're not interacting with it. Like, you're aware of right now, if you're listening to this, you're aware of something in the room, right? But you're not trying to fix it. Let's say if you're aware of the lamp in the room, let's take something that's pretty neutral. You're aware of the floor. Can you be aware of the floor or where you're sitting? And you see how when you're aware of the floor, there's not like a push-pull energy with it. It's just, there's the floor there. You let the floor be in its own space. Does that make sense? And so letting the floor be in your own space, and then you be in your own space, you're able to interact with the floor and walk on it. You have this relationship that's healthy, that allows the floor to be in its autonomous space, individual, meaning individual space, and then you are in your individual space. And if we could interact with people and with our own emotions and thoughts from that same neutral awareness, that would be ultimately self-love and self-acceptance. Or is self-love self-acceptance? And then we would grow, because every time some thought or story or feeling came up, that we had that more compassion observation or observer-aware perspective of, right? We'd have to choose to not believe our emotions, not repress them, you know, not deny them, because emotions are very, very important, but not buy into them so much, right? Not let them take you on such a roller coaster ride. And if you could have that neutral approach towards your emotions, then that is a way of loving yourself. But then some people wouldn't like neutral, and self-love tends to resonate with them more, right? It's finding the right language for our brain that works. I was speaking with a mentee the other day who also happened to be a man, and I was talking about how coming from his growth for or willingness to be of service, and that word really works for me, that when I think about growing, I grow so that I can be in service to you, to the factory farmed animals, to the earth. When I think of that, to be in service to that, then I shine even brighter. That calls me forward in deeper dimensions. For this particular man, that didn't resonate. I needed to use the word participant, be a participant versus an anticipant in the flow of creation. And that really called him forward more, and he was able to shift some things. So really, sometimes it's, as for me as a spiritual teacher, but also for yourself, of finding the right languaging of things. And there's no wrong or right languaging. It's really what calls you forward, what resonates with you. And finding your own unique languaging of things so that you can really relate to things in more of a interpersonal way and personal way at the same time. So far, we've talked about retrieving all parts of you, being aware in a way that's non-reactive or neutral. What I've already talked about, and let's apply it to ourselves. Does that sound good? So just noticing as you turn your focus inward. Noticing first your physical body sensations. And as you notice your physical body sensations, try not to label them. Just notice hot, cold, tension. Slow down a bit. Use this as an opportunity to slow down. Slow does not mean less getting done. In fact, the paradox is sometimes the slower you go, the more that you get done, the more that the good comes to you. If you're able to listen to those nuances of your intuition and how God life is showing you the way, so slow down. Breathe. Now create some space around that sensation. Breathe around it. The sensation is pleasurable or painful or both. Just breathing around it. Pretend like you don't know why it's there. Because ultimately you don't, but I'm just going to say pretend right now. Pretend like you don't know why it's there. Maybe you have some desires coming up. Notice some desires that are coming up. Desires to be held, desires to eat, desires to... Desires are healthy, that our desires, when allowed, are actually can call us forward. So just seeing if there are any desires there. And now see if any emotions are there. All of a sudden you may have a desire to get up and go do something, just noticing that. Being still, watching all these energies, all these impulses. Slowing down. Good. And now, as you become aware of your whole body, your feelings, your desires, your thoughts, imagine breathing more space around all of that. And as you breathe, like puffing up a balloon, all right, now let's do in that self-awareness and calling all parts of you back into wholeness. Let's welcome the energies of the earth, remembering you're not just on the earth, you're of the earth. And welcoming the earth angels, the earth energy of rock and earth into your body, balancing the physical body, those negative ions. Returning your physical body, your lymphatic system, your immune system to radiant health, always there. Always waiting for you to yield, open, and align with. It's not about making anything happen, remember. Everything's already there. You're already God. It's already done. It's already in place. That quantum field, that universal energy, that God being already there. So your health is already there, breathing that earth energy through your body, through your feet chakras, into your physical energy body, your etheric body, all seven layers, which... If you ever come to a retreat or a session, I can teach you what those are. But come into your, let that energy come through your feet chakras into your physical body. Beautiful. Beautiful. And now welcoming the energies of water and the earth angels of water, that consciousness of water and all the consciousnesses, the medicines. I forgot to say this with the earth one, but that's all right. All the medicines of water energies. Dolphins and whales and bluegill, all the powerful water medicine we have. We have such powerful water medicine in Michigan. It's one reason why Michigan, one of the many reasons why Michigan is so amazing. So welcoming that water and the water non-human elements into your clearing out your emotional body, also called, of course, your astral body, clearing that out. We're returning back into your original state. Beginning anew right now. We also talked about that curiousness, right? Like doing this for the first time. Welcoming now the energies of the mental body. And the mental body is the energy of air and all the earth angels of air. As well as the non-human elements supporting air, all the feathered medicine. So if you resonate with hummingbird, or of course me, crow, or robins, welcoming that mental earth angels through that body, it's that next layer of you, and allowing that to clear out and restore and align your mental body. Beautiful. And then now going into the next layer of you, called the spiritual body, or sometimes called the Christ body, or Buddhic body, or Atman, allowing that next layer of you to be tuned into. You can see, if you're not for sure what I'm talking about, it's okay. That vibration or the intention will come through my voice and through your listening of the show, tuning into that energy of yourself. And the energy of fire, the energy of the earth's core, the sun, supporting and aligning your spiritual body. There are what would be called in Christian tradition archangels that support that. There also are specific animals that work with the spiritual body. And we'll go into the specifics of, if you have one come forward now, or an archangel, then let that come forward to support and clear out your spiritual body, aligning yourself to who and what you truly are. Beautiful. Take a deep, deep breath through your whole body and hold it. You got it. Letting it go. And then take a deep, deep breath, realigning those new neural net pathways, aligning with who and what you already are, the magnificence, the beauty, the joy, all of you. Holding that breath, holding it, holding it, holding it. You got it. Let it go. All righty. So let's flip the page here and go to next topic. Or our dance and discovery and growth and self-awareness and retrieving more and more parts of us. There is a statement from Michael Beckwith, who, if you've listened, you know I love, from Agape International. And you can always listen to his lectures on agapelive.com. He talks about 40, 50 minutes in. They have music and affirmations and his topic for the month is, and I put it on the heading of my next article, which you can look at and see the fullness of this quote, right, of what I'm talking about in Body, Mind, Spirit Guide. But the quote is, I'm willing to know the truth of who I am, even if it's more brilliant and amazing than I can imagine. I'm willing to know the truth of who I am, even if my beauty will overwhelm me. Can you feel that? Try saying that out louder to yourself. I'm willing to know the truth of who I am, even if my brilliance and beauty may overwhelm me. Power of that statement is, there's so much to the power of that statement. One is, when someone does say a statement like that, like, I'm going to know who I am, or I'm going to know the truth of who I am, it comes from a place of kind of a industrial growth, kind of North American ambition. Like, we're going to do something. We're going to accomplish something. And as I teach in my books and in my retreats, that remember, all our tools, all of them, meditation, herbs, nature practices, prayer, meditation, religious studies, acupuncture, drugs, crystals, all of it. You know, we're trying to heal. Anything we use to try to heal is really for one purpose only, to yield or surrender to who and what we already are. However, if we forget that, we have forgotten who's the pen and who's the writer. Meaning, the acupuncture is to align the meridian lines that are already there. You're not making anything happen. Meaning, let's say if you start a Dale Carnegie or Tony Robbins type program that does like science of the mind, like willful thinking process, which is great. If you forget, you're not trying to make something happen, that you're yielding, you're opening up to that alignment that's there already. It's very anxious driving. It's very, can become very pressure orientated, achievement orientated. Can you feel the subtle but incredible difference of that? See, in the self-acceptance process that I use, teach, and write about, that includes a philosophy as well as some processes, duality releasing, the perceived protector work, the compassion observation, loving the darkness, loving the shadow, which isn't really anything new, right? This is just my unique combination of it, but it's really universal. The main thing that this work I bring forward is reminding people, which I see a huge difference, is that we're not trying to make anything happen. So when someone says that statement, I'm willing to know the truth of who I am, usually I can feel in their energy a vibration of fixing and ambition and trying to accomplish something. And as soon as that intent is there, rather than an opening, yielding, aligning, opening, yielding, aligning, it may be good. Like, the person may feel better afterwards, but it costs them a deeper, richer, more spiritually mature and way of approaching things. It's kind of like I got to train with, I am a spiritual teacher, but I'm always a student. I went out and trained with John Friedlander. He does, he's out in Ann Arbor, great guy, does psychic psychology. And he said, somebody was saying they felt unworthy about money. And then they sat down and I am worthy and affirmed it. And he's like, that is so spiritually naive. That's approaching your spiritual growth like a child. And I giggled because I loved it, because I agreed with him. Like, it to really be still and slow down, be like, wow, I feel unworthy of prosperity or success, money, you know, whatever you're not allowing into your life, because there's a part of you that doesn't feel worthy of it, right? But if you can be with that unworthiness, or also called shame, you come to align with your souls, and you come into a soul embodiment of it, an alignment with it. It's kind of like the difference between using duct tape versus building a new foundation. So you can affirm, I'm worthy, and create some, I'm worthy of money, and you can create some situations. You align with money, or you still use the sense of unworthiness, have that expansion, that opening that is beyond words. And then from there, you just know that, not knowing is the right word, just a sense that you are. I am. Love is. It's not about worthy or unworthy, actually. That's duality, yes? It's about resting in that isness. Now, the dance of duality, feeling unworthy, then feeling worthy, and feeling unworthy, and feeling worthy, that's important. I'm not discounting that. Please don't hear that I'm saying, oh, just spiritually transcend that dance right into the isness, the impermanence energy, but yet the fullness energy, that Zen energy. Please, I am not saying that. The human dance that we do with those things is very important. It's part of the midwifing. It's part of the embodying. But remember that we're doing that dance so that we can let go to what's already within us, what's already around us. And at the same time, when we do that, we create even more of it. Beginning from that place of wholeness, that place that you already have it, you already know it. It's already done. You have to really, in coming from that place, you have to be somewhat of a listener, a follower of that intuitive voice, that letting that part of you be led and guided. And then as you're being led into guided, that kind of circles back to my original message of like being more approach your life from a place of curiosity, exploring, like you're on vacation. And then as you let yourself be led and guided, and you let yourself be with those emotions, positive or negative, you allow that purpose that wants to emerge in you to happen. You allow all that part, the other parts of yourself to emerge. You allow your healer archetype or your mother archetype or your sage or your champion or your warrior. Maybe you're a man who really wants to explore more of his feminine energy, or a woman who needs more masculine, or whatever it is, that you begin to let those things emerge. All right, a few announcements. So turning the page here, just a few announcements. So August 21st, 22nd, 23rd, I have an offering for you that is for women specifically. So please know I love working with men and women. However, this particular retreat is for women only. It's shamanic breathwork and tantric massage. And so what does that mean? Shamanic breathwork, we use nature practices, and what I'm using here, so when I'm using aligning with the relationship of nature and the earth and your body connection to bring you, to support you really into deeper elements of yourself. And it's combining breath work with that. So similar to, not the same as, rebirthing, transformational breath, quantum, what's the other one that's similar to it? Holographic breath. Similar to, but not the same. So that's shamanic breath work. And then the tantric massage is, and again, I don't mean to oversimplify it because it's pretty spectacular within itself, but it's using some of the unique energy work that I do. Also, some I've learned through Jean-Paul when he brought a similar process here to Michigan. But I didn't agree with all his techniques, but some of it I really enjoyed. Also, Ray Stubbs, who teaches shamanic energy work. Tantric shamanism is what he calls his processes. So the tantric massage, you're doing energy work, and then conscious, non-sexual, but yet incredibly sensual life force touch. This is a really great retreat for any woman that wants to really accept herself more fully as a woman, who wants to accept her body, who really wants to claim her either queen or princess archetypes, who wants to heal any sexual wounds that she may have around thinking that her sexuality is dirty or evil or bad. This would be the retreat for you. And maybe if you're craving more of that sister energy, like needing sisters to just support you, or that mothering energy, needing, maybe you've never experienced in your lifetime having a mother fully accept you and love you. So this is sister energy, mother energy. And that retreat is August 21st, 22nd, 23rd. And I will be this weekend, if you're coming up to Song of the Morning Yoga Fest, it's up in Vanderbilt, up by Grayling, teaching a workshop on Saturday, The Spell of the Sensuous, and that's using the five senses to come into deeper intimacy with nature and then with people. And then your spiritual vocation. And so the second hour, we're going to open to our spiritual vocation. So I'll be, if you want to even come up just for the day, my workshop's on Saturday, 2 hours, and we're out on this glorious platform by the river in the middle of the woods. It's so amazing. It's about a 3.5-hour drive. It's well worth it. If you got up early in the morning, came out in the early morning Saturday, you could do a yoga class, get a massage, do my workshop, and then drive home in the evening. However, if you can stay Thursday to Sunday out at Song of the Morning this weekend, it's just going to be amazing. And you can bring your significant other. Even somebody that's not into yoga can come. It's even though it's yoga festival, they're going to have dancing and they're going to have food. They've got a kids play area. You can bring the kids. So it really is for everybody. It's a great celebration of life, and they've really done an incredible job this year. It gets better and better every year. So that's this weekend, Yoga Fest. And so Yoga Fest this weekend, and then the Shamanic Breathwork and Tantric Massage Retreat weekend, 21st, 22nd, 23rd. And so please come. Please come to either of those, and hope to see you. And as always, you can, if you are called to begin mentoring with me and coming into the next expansion of you, you can call me, of course, here at 734-455-1438 here in Plymouth. I also do phone or Skype sessions. That is a possibility. And of course, all that information is on my website at acceptedasiam.com. All right. So we just have a few minutes left. And so we've covered soul retrieval a little bit, self-awareness. We did a powerful four-body earth angel clearing. And then we discussed the power and the potency of I am willing to know the truth of who I am, even if it's more brilliant and more beautiful and more amazing than I can imagine. Dear God, dear life, dear goddess, dear all that is, I'm willing to know the truth of who I am, even if it is more beautiful than I can imagine. You carry that affirmation, that willingness, with a willingness to slow down and be still, and a willingness to see both all parts of you, what will happen is a greater emergence of you will begin to happen. If you can carry that intent, the willingness to slow down a bit, to be with yourself every day, a spiritual practice, and to let be all those parts of you, a greater you will be born. It's a pretty amazing, the life that we can be living. I'm not saying it doesn't have its challenges and struggles. Oh, I am not saying that. But I'm saying that we don't have to suffer so much. And we can begin to taste that sweet intimacy, that sweet joy of life that can happen. Or maybe a good cup of coffee and sitting in the grass. Or holding your child's hand, or petting your little dog or kitty's head. All right, I guess I'll leave you with a funny story. So, working with skunk medicine, and a family of skunk came in the backyard, and unfortunately, my little hunter dog got one of them. That's not the funny part, of course. And then now I can't let her in the backyard. Between the energy I put off and the grass, I get so many animals back here in suburbia. So it remedied that. But a few days later, I had a skunk try to come into my bedroom window. So I'm working with skunk medicine. And skunk consciousness is realizing a greater level of innocence, of my innocence. They're the last animals in the woods to fight. And they don't like to spray. That's their last resort. And they get noticed without effort. So there was a level that creation was asking me to bring into my dating of stop trying so hard to get noticed. my dating adventures. and so it did help tremendously. So like the second or third day, come into my bedroom window, and it turned out she was a baby. And I suspected that she may be from that litter. And I put in a board in my bed and by my window for her to get out, and she didn't want to leave. I could feel her saying, no, I, you know, my mom took off. It could be my dog's fault. I'm not for sure. I forgiven myself, forgiven my dog. And so I'm like, okay, this little skunk's my responsibility. So I have been raising a skunk, and she's adorable. And I haven't domesticated her. She's very wild, and we'll be ready to be released back into the wild a few weeks from now. And I'm really honored. I'm really honored to have this skunk living with me right outside my bedroom window. And please, if you come to the Healing Center, please don't come over and say hi to her. She needs to not have a lot of human interaction. So I was a little hesitant in sharing the story, but I know that people I attract to my world and in this at Accepted As I Am are pretty amazing. So I know that people are respectful of the space. And so, yeah, I have a skunk that's a skunk companion right now. Oh, life is good. Life is great. All right, I want to leave just one more time with us all affirming together. I'm willing, so you can say it out loud or to yourself in your heart, I'm willing to know the truth of who I am. Say it now. Even if it's more brilliant, more beautiful, more magnificent, more abundant than I can imagine. Good. And then one more time. I'm willing to know the truth of who I am. Brilliance and beauty overwhelms me. I'm willing to know the truth of who I am, even if my own brilliance and beauty overwhelms me. You got it. Very good. So knowing that you are not the same person that began this listening of this radio show, please share this radio show with somebody that you know would benefit. Take a little growth risk there. I know it's scary sometimes sharing this stuff with people. This information is very important to share. Also, all the other Blog Talk radio shows, if you can share it with somebody, just, you know, say, have a suggestion for them to listen to it. And also go to Body, Mind, Spirit Guide, pick up a few of them, share them with friends, that we need you. We need you to pass on this information. It's very important that if this benefited you in any way, please share it with another person. Thank you so much for listening, and I deeply respect and honor you and your process and your willingness to become more yourself, your already present, amazing self. And I look forward to connecting with you next month. All right. Much love for you. Take care. Bye-bye.